Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a series of studies we just started on salvation by faith alone, God's message through the Apostle Paul to Christians in Rome and also to us. If you missed the first one in the series, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, catch up. We are in a life-changing study. Today, the background, the controversy, what burden was there on Paul's heart that said, I need to give a clear gospel message to the Christians in Rome? We're glad you're with us. We believe it will be life-changing. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School, and welcome to the team. I'm already excited. You know, this is such a powerful letter. It caused the Reformation, calling people back to salvation by grace through faith, and not by works that we do. Can't buy our way to heaven, can't beat our way to heaven. Understanding this is so important. And we're going to look at the background, the controversy that caused Paul, under the Spirit's guidance, to say, I have got to write a clear gospel treatise or message to Christians in Rome. So we're glad you're with us for this series, and we're always happy to hear from you. We know of at least 150 countries that watch Hope Sabbath School. We're glad you're part. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Share with us what God's doing through an in-depth interactive study of His Word in your life. Here's a note from Yerwin in Venezuela. Greetings, brothers and sisters.
Greetings. Hola.
I write from Venezuela. I'm a young Adventist. I ask for your prayers. I'm going to get married soon.
Amen.
Everybody said amen. Please pray for me and my future spouse for God to bless us. Good prayer?
Yes.
Wow. I want to let you know how much I love Hope Sabbath School. These programs are good tools for understanding the Bible. I hope you read my message live. Well, you're when it happened. We read it here. God bless you, he says, and thank you. Well, by the time you hear this message, you may already be married, but write to us again and share how God's blessing your love and your family and your growing in Christ. Thanks for writing to us, Ewan from Venezuela. Chinyama writes from Zambia and says, I would like to first of all thank the Almighty God for giving me the opportunity to write to you. I'm from the town of Livingstone. I love Hope Sabbath School. Please continue to touch many souls through these lessons. God bless you as we wait together for the second coming of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I wish I could meet all of these people live, don't you?
Amen.
Each one of you has a testimony to share. And Chinyama, thanks for writing to us from the beautiful country of Zambia. I'm going to say Ewa, E-W-A, Ewa? She's from Poland, but living in my home, original homeland of the UK. And she says, I've been in the UK for 10 years. I would like to thank you for Hope Sabbath School. The programs give me hope and strengthen my faith.
Amen.
I pray for you because you are missionaries of the good news. May as many people know God. He is wonderful. And please pray for me and my husband. Since we gave our lives to Jesus and made the decision to be baptized, we've had a lot of problems, health, legal, financial. But it all made me realize that we're going the good way. May God bless you and keep you in your work and in your personal life. That's from Iwa and Jarek, living in the UK. God bless you. You know, it's true that when we follow Jesus, it doesn't mean we'll never face any hardships. The theme song we're going to sing in just a few minutes, though, says, what does it say?
All things
work together for good to those who love God. So hold on to that promise. And by the way, if you want to learn it, you can download it from our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Sheet music, MP3 file. And I've found that to be a great encouragement in my own journey. Well, here's a note from Judy in Georgia. Anyone from Georgia in the United States of America? Anybody been to Georgia? Yeah. Dustin?
Yeah.
You've lived in Georgia, all right? For a long time, writes Judy, I've been searching for a Bible-based church. I grew up in another denomination. Though they were very nice people in the denomination, I was hearing more philosophy than Scripture. I hungered and thirsted for Scripture-based messages and for Bible-searching studies. Amen?
Amen.
What did Jesus promise? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What, Brittany?
They shall be filled.
That's right. Amen. That was the promise. Well, here's what happened. My previous cable provider was not working, so I switched to DirecTV. Now, you know that Hope Sabbath School is on DirecTV, channel 368. What a blessing. I stumbled on the Hope Channel and Hope Sabbath School. Could have just been an accident, right? Or could God work good? Just what I'd been searching for. You've blessed me deep in my heart and soul, and I know the same is true for others. I'm telling everybody about Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Amen.
Your program is a God gift to all who seek to know more about God. Though I know there are beautiful people in other denominations, you have helped me know where I want to plant my walk with God.
Amen.
I got to keep reading after that. Hallelujah. There are none in my hometown churches, but there's one 30 miles away. I plan to visit next Sabbath, but the distance, it's worth the drive. By the way, she writes, when I'm unable to sleep at night, I turn to Hope Channel, to my recorded studies. This brings solace to my soul. I go back to sleep with wonderful thoughts. Your dedicated panel of believers and your guidance is an anointed gift to us all. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You are my surrogate family. Amen. In gratitude, Judy. Aww. From Georgia. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
One last note from a Fijian living in Sweden. Do we have an international group? A Fijian living in Sweden. Wow. We're so blessed with Hope Sabbath School. Originally from Fiji, but six months ago, we moved to Sweden. It was difficult to find a church close by, but we're meeting with a small group of believers. We now enjoy fellowship with our new church family, but on weeks when we can't go to church, we watch Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
By the way, she began by saying, Bula, Bula. I guess that's a greeting in Fijian. Please pray for the church members in Sweden. And thank you for sharing. And by the way, our six-year-old daughter loves to sing the scripture songs.
Amen.
Well, I just want to say this from Lessie, Wame, and Mariani. I just want to say, especially to you, Mariani, 6 years old, sing nice and loud so we can all hear. Because right now we're going to sing our theme song for this series on the book of Romans. It's taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 31. 32, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Let's sing it together right now.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to those what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Give us all things.
Amen. Loves us so much. That's the message to share. Yeah. A God who loves us and has a plan for our salvation. And I want to tell you, in Paul's day and also in our day, false teachers will come and say, it's not that simple. Either you've got to try to work your way to heaven or there's no hope for you. Mm-hmm. There's no hope. But we're going to see that there is hope in Jesus. Amen. As we study an inspired testimony that Paul wrote to Christians in Rome. The topic today, the controversy. Mm. And I don't think it ended in the first century. There's always people trying to turn us away from the truth that Jesus taught. So I'm praying for a miracle today. Will you join with me?
Yes.
That the Holy Spirit will teach us the truth that Jesus wants us to know. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you didn't spare your own son, but gave him up for us all. And with him, you'll freely give us all things. You'll give us hope. You'll give us direction in our lives. You'll give us not only freedom from the penalty of sin, but freedom from the power of sin, a new life in Christ. Lord, bless us as we study the epistle to the Romans today. This letter would be truth for us, even in our day. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1. Gary, I'd like to ask you to start our study with Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And right at the beginning of his letter, he makes a bold declaration. And I want to ask you why you think he says that so early in the letter. Okay. First, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think he begins, Nicole, by saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel that I'm proclaiming to you?
Because there's a lot of I would say drama going on in that time. And so he wants to let them know, I'm not ashamed of what I'm going to talk to you about. And I live by this. I completely believe in this. And so you can take at face value what I tell you is the truth and what's in God sent.
It's interesting that in some of his letters, like the letter to the Galatians, he really focuses on what the false teachers are saying and confronts them and says, let them be anathema, let them be cursed for preaching false teachings. Here in Romans, he actually just focuses on the message more than the false teaching. Mm-hmm. But your point is well taken, that the false teaching's there. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm not ashamed of what I'm going to tell you. Anybody else? Why do you think he starts right up front, Kenneth? I'm not ashamed.
I think the culture of that day was very intimidating. Mm-hmm. Talking about a crucified Savior. A resurrected Savior and also a coming Savior. So Paul wanted to make it clear that he's not ashamed of the crucified Savior, the resurrected Savior, and then the coming Savior.
Yeah, so he's writing, like you said, it's a bit intimidating if you think he's writing to Rome. There's a whole Parthenon, right? Mm-hmm. There's like this whole collection of gods that they worship. Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, no, there's no other name except Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not ashamed of that. Anybody else? Brittany?
Just going along with what he was sharing, Christianity at that time was a small sect that people of different religions looked down upon as, who are you? What are you believing? And this is strange to us because paganism was a very large religion as well as Judaism, but Christianity was something new and something small. And so maybe he's encouraging them that even though we have a small beginning, it looks little, this is powerful and this changes our lives and this is the truth.
It's kind of countercultural too, isn't it? Because at least in Rome, you worship the emperor, right? And it's like, no, we worship a carpenter, right? And by the way, he's a carpenter that was killed on a Roman cross. I mean, the logic of that, who might insinuate you ought to be ashamed? What do you think? Who might insinuate you ought to be ashamed of preaching that?
The Jewish people. I mean, they were persecuting the Christians at that point in time.
The Jewish people?
The Jewish people. Yeah.
Okay. The Jews should say that you should be ashamed?
Yeah, because they're persecuting them.
Well, they certainly had said, cursed is everyone that's hung on a tree, right? Mm-hmm. So they would not, and he was not the Messiah they were looking for. Mm-hmm. Who else might have insinuated that, Gary?
I would think Romans, because the cross was for, you know, folks who were traitors to the country, who had done some egregious crime. So you're coming to my country teaching me about someone who was murdered or killed on
executed on a
implementation we used to, you know, punish someone, to put them down, to let us know that they were a really bad person.
Put them to open shame.
Yeah.
Yes, Jamie?
Also, culturally at the time, humility was considered a bad thing. It was something that associated with slaves. And so it would be very difficult to speak to people in Rome about a humble savior, about
rather than some
servant.
Kind of military victor or something.
Yeah, it would have been maybe perceived as shameful.
Yeah. Yes, Kenneth?
And also, for the philosophy of the day, that is the Greeks, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You know? Right. Doesn't Paul say it's a stumbling block to one and foolishness to the others?
Yeah. Right.
But he says, I'm going to tell you, like Nicole said, I'm not ashamed. Yeah. This is the gospel message that has been given to me, and I'm going to boldly proclaim it to you. So what was that gospel message? Well, you say read the letter. But if you could summarize, Kyle, this message. I saw you leaning. You were hoping I would ask you, right? Just in a few words, what is this message that he says, I'm not ashamed? By the word gospel means what?
Good news,
right? Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed of this good news I'm telling you. What was that good news? We'll help
God,
you if you leave some big things out.
Okay. God loves you so much that he sent his only son to give his life for you, to save you forever. And why not give your life to him?
Okay. Why would he need to give his life for us? So that is a biblical teaching, Stephanie.
Well, because we are sinners. Mm-hmm. We need someone to stand in our place.
We are sinners. Help me. It's in the book of
Wages of Sin.
And the wages of sin, Nicole.
Right,
the wages of sin is death. And how many of us have sinned?
All.
This is all in the letter that we'll be studying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So back to, I appreciate the way you started, that God loves you, because that was not a common idea.
Right.
Gods were angry and they did the selfish things and they exploited people in the Roman collection of gods, right? But this, the true God loves you and he wants you to be with him forever.
Amen.
And he's going to rescue you.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So that you can live with him and experience eternal joy with him. That's countercultural.
Yep.
But it's the message that had been given to him.
Derek, can you say
yes,
God. Paul believed that so strongly that he was willing to be persecuted and whipped and beaten and go to great lengths to share that message with people. And that's where I also think about when he says, I'm not ashamed. He's really willing to go to even give up his life to share that message with others.
And let's stay there for just a moment. I was hoping someone would bring that, why he was not ashamed. Why did he feel such personal conviction, Tricia Lee?
Because of his former life. You know, he had spent a lot of time working against this good news,
right,
against the gospel. Mm-hmm. And at one point, maybe he thought it was a shameful thing for people to be converted to that way of thinking. And so here he is now, no longer ashamed of it, no longer persecuting it. It's an honor and a privilege for him.
Why is he so? Why did that change happen for him?
He was convicted and converted. He met Jesus for himself,
yes,
and he had a transformation in his heart. And he realized that it truly is good news, mm-hmm, and that he could not save himself from his own works, because that was what he was living under, trying to save himself through the law only, and now through grace he knows he's saved and he wants to share it with other people.
So he's not sharing a philosophy or a theory, but a personal experience, isn't he?
That's what I was going to share, is that he had that experience with Christ himself on the road to Damascus, and he met Jesus, and he realized, I've been going a completely wrong direction, and he allowed God to take him the opposite direction.
Amen.
Can anybody relate to that pressure of feeling ashamed of the gospel? Like, that would have to be someone who grew up in a Christian environment where you heard the message that God loves you and Jesus came to save you, but you also were living in a secular setting, not just totally Christian, that there is that pressure to feel a little ashamed. We shouldn't be, but can anybody relate to that at all? Yes, Justin.
I know personally at secular universities, I feel ashamed sometimes because some of the classes, they mention evolution and a lot of different stuff that are contrary to what I believe.
Yes.
And for me to stand up and say that, you know, I don't believe in that, it's a little bit difficult sometimes. Mm. Sometimes I feel ashamed, you know. And also, even when they set exams on, you know, the day that I worship, I feel ashamed to go to them and ask for time off and that they were to change the exam date.
I was talking to some friends of mine, and their son was taking an exam called the SAT, and fortunately we live in a country where it's not only scheduled on Saturday, but they also schedule it on Sunday. And there was quite a group of people there, including some Jewish brothers and sisters who opted to take it on that day. That doesn't happen everywhere, does it?
No.
You don't have that kind of freedom everywhere. So thank you for being honest, Justin. How do we get past that fear, that intimidation of like, that's not what people believe, and I want to be able to stand and say I'm not ashamed. How do I get past that? Can anybody relate to what Justin's saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so just in case you were thinking, you know. By the way, there's lots of people all around the world say, I can relate to that. How do we get past that, Brittany?
I think it's when we do go ahead and share, and then we see that it makes a difference in someone else's life. I know for me personally, I've been afraid of sharing my faith. And then when I do share and I see someone's encouraged by that, or someone comes back later and says, you know, because you said that, I've made this decision in my life, then I'm like, wow, why was I ever ashamed? Look at the difference that God is making in their life. Through me, someone who's timid to share my faith.
So you would say just take a deep breath, trust in God, step out, and God will give you the encouragement, the affirmation that you need. We've got to move on, but keep that in mind as he starts the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what I'm going to tell you.
Amen.
And he's going to talk about, he's going to challenge their misconception, some of them, about salvation. So let's go and look in another book, in Hebrews chapter 8, where the author in the first six verses talks about better promises. Better promises. And let's see what he says. Alex, if you could read starting in Hebrews 8 and verse 1.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. I minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
Now when I first read that better promises, I thought, wait a minute, are some of God's promises better than other promises?
No.
He keeps all of his promises,
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Amen.
There's this first covenant, and then there's the new covenant. Mm-hmm. Now, who made the promises in the first covenant? Well, God revealed himself at Sinai. Mm-hmm. Let's look in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8. Jamie, if you have that, Exodus 19 and verse 8.
The New Living Translation says...
Exodus 19 and verse 8. Yeah.
The New Living Translation says, and all the people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord.
Did they succeed in their promise?
No.
No. What should they have said?
Lord, help us.
Yeah,
Lord,
we can't do this, God. It's got to be by your grace. We're willing to accept it by faith. And God would say, okay, all of my biddings are enablings. I will equip you. No, they said, okay, we'll do that. And failed miserably. The new covenant, the better promises, is not that God made bad promises and then he makes good promises. Mm-hmm. It's the recognition that salvation has to be by his grace received through faith. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Now, if we have time, our time's going quickly in our study, I'd love to hear some of those promises of God that have encouraged you to believe his grace for you and to accept by faith what he's done. So keep it. We'll come back to that if we have time. Because I want you to know, if you look at yourself and say, I can do this, you're in trouble. It wasn't long after they said all that the Lord has said we'll do that they were dancing around the golden calf.
Yes.
Committing all kinds of idolatry and even the blasphemy of saying that it was that calf that brought them out of Egypt. You say, Lord, how did that happen? When we trust in our own selves. So the better promises are God's promises.
Amen.
And what promise should we make then? What should our promise be? Should we make any promise to God? What do you think, Tricia Lee?
I think in a previous study, Nicole talked about receiving the blessings from God. And I think the only promise we could even try to give is just, I accept, and I believe.
Amen.
And that's all that we can give is our decision. I think the rest, we just have to ask God to help
us. And I'll do that by your grace, too, by your power.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like the Father said, I believe, help me to believe more. I'll do that by your power, too. Well, the challenge comes to the early church because salvation is only by God's grace received through faith. That's how it's not like you were saved one way in the Old Testament and another way. There's only one way of salvation. That was the sacrifice of the Lamb pointing forward to the Lamb of God, right? But let's look at the crisis in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. Brittany, if you could read verse 1 for us, what was the challenge there?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.
Now I'm going to have you to keep reading on 2 to 12, but the challenge is basically saying what? It's not just
by faith
in Jesus. Faith. That God's grace received through it. Not just that. We're going to add some other things. Okay? Let's keep reading. We're now in Acts 15, verses 2 to 12.
Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So these people, Stephanie, who stood up and said, but no, they also need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Were those Christians or non-Christians?
They were Christians.
They were Christians, Kenneth said. It says they were Jews who believed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're not saying don't believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are they saying?
Jesus plus.
You know, Jesus plus mm-hmm. some of your works.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? How are they going to resolve this? Let's keep reading, Nicole, if you would. It's like a drama unfolding. And basically, what's Peter's argument? The Holy Spirit's rested on them.
Mm-hmm. Just like us.
Just like us. Mm-hmm. So let's keep reading in verses 13 to 21.
And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, when they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, things known from long ago. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. So a decision is made. Mm-hmm. That they should refrain from idolatry and sexual immorality.
Things
that are strangled in blood. And someone says, well, boy, there's a lot of commandments that aren't even mentioned. Does that mean we don't need to remember the Sabbath, or we can steal, or we can lie, or we can take God's name in vain? What's going on here, Brittany?
The dispute at the beginning was over the law of Moses and circumcision. It didn't even mention the Ten Commandments.
Okay. So obviously they're not discarding all of the commandments. Anybody else? Mm. Yes, Jamie?
There are almost like lifestyle issues. So just ways that you can live a better, more holy life, and so you can better keep the commandments if you're not worshiping idols.
And that's their context, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They're in pagan environments.
Yeah.
There are idols, there's meat offered to idols in the market, mm-hmm. and all of those kind of things. Sexual immorality was even part of the worship in these fertility cult religions. Mm-hmm. So it's addressing some of the lifestyle issues that they're dealing with. How is that then communicated, Kyle? Verses 22 through 29. You say, well, how do they, they didn't have emails, and right? They didn't have texting. And social media, right? How did they communicate that to the new believers, particularly the Gentiles?
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then it pleased the apostles and elders, with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them. The apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell.
That's an early first century tweet, right? It's a little longer than a tweet, right? 140, but it's a text message.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very short message, and it's basically saying, you've got the gospel message that you're not saved by your works or by idols, but by
faith
in the grace of the Creator God, who loved you and sent his son to save you.
Amen.
But you will distinguish yourself from the pagans around you if you don't participate in those things mm-hmm. that are part of their pagan worship. Mm-hmm. Sexual immorality, food that's certainly been offered to idols mm-hmm. and some of those other issues. So the message is sent out. Now I have a question for you. Mm. Did you notice that they sent a man named Judas and Silas with them? Mm-hmm. Why do you think they did that? What was their purpose? Anybody have an idea? Why did they? It says they were men of held in high esteem.
They were leaders,
right?
Possibly,
Justin?
If they had any questions about the letter, forever questions.
Okay.
Judas and Silas could answer.
So they could answer some questions.
Yeah,
Kenneth.
Also, when the controversy broke, it was Paul and Barnabas who were there, and these people were not there. So they want them to come and reaffirm what Paul and Silas are going to tell
in them. In the testimony of one or two witnesses, something is established, right? So it's like, well, Paul, you know, when we send you and Barnabas, if you say, well, this is what they decided, maybe some enemies will go, well, we'd expect you to say that because that's what you were wanting to happen. And they say, well, why don't you talk to Brother Judas here and Brother Silas? They can give a testimony, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the leaders in Jerusalem trying to do for these?
Show unity.
Mm-hmm. Show unity, right. Yeah, we're working together.
We're working together.
Mm-hmm. And we're wanting to protect the gospel message that's been proclaimed. Mm-hmm. Now, I couldn't help but thinking, this is a dangerous question to ask, but if sometimes we require things that are not salvation issues, that we say, well, you can be part of our community, but you have to also comply to these things and not just believe that we're saved by God's grace through faith. Now, I know Jesus said, teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. So I'm not suggesting we throw away the teachings or the Ten Commandments. I'm not suggesting that. But are there some things that we could maybe try to say, well, if you're going to be part of our group, you have to do it like this, that Paul and Barnabas would say, why are you adding that? Or even James, the leader of the church, would say, you're adding a burden to them that God doesn't require. Tricia Lee?
It can happen when we take our eyes off of Jesus. And instead of trying to encourage people to become in the image of Christ, we're trying to conform them to become like us, to make ourselves more comfortable, or if you look and act like me and dress and talk and sound like me, then we're truly one. And we have to remember it's not to bring people into our own image, but for us all to be into the image of Jesus. And it's very different than what it is. Look at all of us here. If we were trying to conform to any, like, who is it? Is it Alex? Is it me? Is it Dustin? Who? But Jesus is one person, and if we keep our eyes on him, then that's the true north that we have to focus on.
You know, I like what Tricia Lee said, and I'm smiling because I'm thinking, what would people say if I had your beautiful hairdo? It looks awesome on you, you know, but on me they would say, what's up? but I love what you said. People want to get to the details. Well, should you do like this? And you're saying, point them to Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Let him guide them in the small decisions. Dustin?
I think also maybe we need to think in terms of progression, too. I mean, people should be growing. So when you take somebody that's so drastically different from the Christian way of life, like the prisoner who is on the cross with Jesus, I mean, you know, you can deliver the core, the seed, you know, you may not see it in their lifetime get to a certain level that looks like something that you recognize, but there's the initial faith, And then there's obedience, which is the expression. And those are two totally different things. One is about salvation, and the other is about walking it out.
So. Wow, that's powerful. And, you know, I had a flashback while Dustin was talking about a young man when I was just a young pastor who was baptized. And he came to church with his clean blue jeans, you know, and a clean T-shirt. And I saw a saint heading towards him. And I knew she was going to say to him, if you're going to dress like that,
don't be here.
Don't even come. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I had to run an intervention. Yeah. Now, by the way, I called her a saint, and I didn't do that carelessly, because what have we learned? By God's grace, He sees our potential, doesn't He? Right. And she had growing to do, but don't we have growing that we need to do? Yes. But I had to run an intervention to kind of prevent, I won't mention the lady's name, from making it to Mike, because I knew Mike had his best jeans on. Mm-hmm. He wasn't being irreverent. And he didn't have a T-shirt with some old rock group that he used to listen to. It was just a plain white T-shirt. And at some point later, I was able to talk to this saint sister and say, you know, aren't we happy that he's in church? You know?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sometimes, though, we can get bogged down with minutia, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Trying to make everybody more like us rather than saying, just look to Jesus. Kyle? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something else, just building off what she said that I learned from this is, they took the time to listen to the report of Paul as what was happening with the Gentiles. Mm. And I think a lot of times in our churches, we don't listen sometimes. We just kind of think we know what we know, and we don't really listen to people. And if we would take the time to listen and to really consider where people are and to show them the grace and the patience, you know, because like our brother said, we're all on a journey. Yeah. So we need to really give that grace to listen to people, to show them the love of Christ, and to let them grow in their journey.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Paul doesn't talk extensively about the challenge in his letter to the Romans, but he does, and he gets really excited, isn't the right word. Upset, maybe, mm-hmm. would be a better word. Mm-hmm. He gets very upset when he hears that false teachers have come. Stephanie, the first 12 verses there, let's remember that as we think about his love for the church in Rome and staying faithful to Jesus.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Why is he so upset about the false teachers? And by the way, we know that the false teachers didn't just visit Galatia, right? Mm-hmm. This was written to the Galatians. They were visiting everywhere. In fact, Paul had told the elders in Ephesus that false teachers would come like wolves, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Yeah, wolves attacking the flock, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to draw people after them. Why does he use such strong language when speaking about these false teachers? Can he say, well, that's your opinion, this is my opinion, we all have different views, you know, kind of a, you're right, I'm right, we're all right. Why is he so intense, Brittany?
Because they're leading people who are new believers away from Christ, yes. or people who wanted to believe in Jesus, they're leading them away from him. And same with Jesus. Jesus pointed out those people who were stealing or guiding people the wrong direction away from salvation. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking about the price of the soul.
I was thinking of some strong language Jesus gave when he said, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble.
Yeah.
Do you remember what he said?
Yeah. He said it would have been better if a millstone was hung around your neck and dip you into the sea.
Right. Put a big rock, a millstone around your neck. It would be better and drowned in the sea than to cause these little ones to stumble. So it's not about him protecting his theological reputation.
No.
Right. It's about salvation.
Exactly.
It's about salvation, Nicole.
It's a matter of life or death. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just about, you know, you're okay tomorrow, but it's really about eternal damnation and actually not being a part of the kingdom of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Life or death issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's willing to speak so forcefully. Harold?
And the other negative thing that can come out of this is they can start spreading that false gospel to the people around the community, so it will have a worldwide impact. So everybody's getting the wrong message as a result of these false teachers. It only takes one or two people to...
And they may share it in all, with good intentions, because that's what they've been taught, even if it's not true. Yeah. So the sooner that can be stopped, the better, right? The false gospel that may be teached. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at a few texts that clearly we had Kyle give us a brief summary of the gospel in 50 words or less. But let's look at a few of the texts in Romans that really share the simplicity of the gospel. Romans, Justin, if you could read Romans 3 for us, verses 21 to 24. Have someone else look at Romans 5, 1 and 2 and Romans 10, 9 to 13. Condensed version here, all right? Like the tweet, the little text message that came out of the Jerusalem Council. This is the good news that he's willing to even sacrifice for or die for.
Amen.
And get upset when people say, well, kind of like that, but let's add this and this and this. Mm-hmm. Romans 3, 21 to 24.
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised, in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When he freed us from the penalty of our sins.
I love that wording. How did it, undeserved... What was the wording of that? His kindness?
With undeserved kindness.
Yeah. Undeserved kindness. What's another word for that?
Grace.
That's grace. That's unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor.
That's God's love in action, right?
Yep.
What we could not do. Now, careful. We're going to study more about how to live, you know, that we should not be conformed to this world, Romans 12, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Mm. We're going to talk about that new life. But it is not our behavior that makes us right with God.
Mm-hmm.
You hearing the difference there? The new life comes from the living connection with God.
Yes.
But it is not the behavior that makes us right with God. All right, what about Romans 5, verses 1 and 2? Jamie? Yes.
The New Living Translation says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us.
Amen.
Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
You know, one of the last requests of Jesus in his great prayer in John 17 is that they would be with me and see my glory.
Amen.
Think about that. And not one of us, if I'm reading my Bible correctly, when we get there and see his glory, will say, I deserve this. With tears running down our cheeks, we'll say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That's the gospel message.
Yeah.
Mm. If we think we deserve it, we won't get there.
No.
Because we won't be open to the grace that you talked about, that he wants to give us. All right, one more verse in Romans 10. We're going to be studying this for this series, but just a snapshot of this gospel message he's not ashamed of. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 10. Gary, do you have verses 9 through 13?
Yes, I do. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans 10, 9 through 13. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. I love that verse.
Amen.
Whoever. That would include
everyone. Whoever.
Certainly in his thinking, Jew and Gentile.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
But we get more specific among the Gentiles and say it includes everyone. Yeah. Right? There's no one excluded. By the way, that's not just talking ethnicity. Mm-hmm. That's also talking about
socioeconomic.
Yeah, socioeconomics or our past history.
Amen, mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyle?
I'm just thinking, you know, Paul says somewhere, he's the chief of sinners, right?
Yes.
And I think his words are so powerful when you read them because he's speaking from his own testimony. In his own life, at one point, he had lived by the law. He was trying to earn his salvation.
And killing Christians to show how zealous he was.
Yeah, and then Jesus changed his life. And now he's living for that true gospel, which is the righteousness that comes by faith.
Would you read that verse for us that you were just quoting? It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15.
Thanks for telling me. I'm glad
you're
you told
welcome.
Me where it was.
1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Give us a moment to find it. It is startling, but Saul, now Paul, could never forget the grace that had been shown to him.
Amen.
That's another reason, like you said, he's so passionate about it.
Amen.
He knew how sincere he was trying to earn his way to heaven, even by persecuting Christians. Mm-hmm. But he was sincerely mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's his testimony in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15?
Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to argue with him and say, I think I'm a worse sinner than you are? Is that the point?
No.
You say, well, he put people to death. Hmm. He forced people to blaspheme the name of Jesus.
Hmm. Hmm.
Do you ever look back over mistakes you made in your life and just kind of shake your head? Is there anybody besides me that does that? Hmm. You say, Derek, really? Have we not all done things that we're ashamed of?
Agree.
What does grace do for us, Nicole?
It gives us a hope. It gives us a hope that what we've done before does not dictate who we are now and who we're going to become.
Amen.
And we're going to be what Jesus wants us to be when he returns.
Amen.
Thanks for that smile, too. Yeah.
Amen.
Like my dear friend who now sleeps in Jesus, C.D. Brooks, said, you know, I'm not the man I should be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be.
Amen.
I've been changed.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? You know, just a word of testimony here as we close our study. What Jesus has done. Did you ever feel pressured to kind of turn away from Jesus, and he somehow he brought you back. Anybody ever feel that pressure? Mm-hmm. Justin talked about it in an academic setting with secular teachers. Or you're thankful that God doesn't count your past against you. Amen. Someone just want to say thank you to Jesus for what he's done for you.
Amen.
As we conclude our study, Stephanie.
Well, I don't know if I could read three verses. Do
you
think
can.
I could? Okay. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16.
Hebrews chapter, you know, I love it when people say, what about this verse? Because it tells me that we've been reading our Bibles, right?
Yeah, and recently I was speaking with someone who felt just that they weren't worthy.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time, but we're
so
going to read it
and then
briefly
that.
Comment on it. You're in Hebrews chapter 4.
That's right, verses 14 through 16.
Let's read it.
And I'm reading from the King James Version. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, yes. that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of
Amen.
Need.
Amen.
It's so encouraging.
So what does that do for a friend who says, Stephanie, you look so holy, and I mean, you live with Jesus all the time, but you don't know all the things I've done.
Mm-hmm. What it does is it says that we all need Jesus, and we can come boldly to his throne of mercy Amen. And find that grace.
Because and why can we come boldly?
Because of Jesus.
Because of his grace.
Amen. Yes.
Like Kyle started out, God loves you. Whatever false teaching you have about a God who hates you, I mean, if God hated us, he would not have had a plan of salvation.
Mm. Amen.
God loves us.
Amen.
He wants us to be with him forever. Amen. And it's not based upon how well you perform, but upon accepting his grace through
yes.
faith.
Amen.
And then letting him work you into a new creation.
Amen.
And not to save yourself, but to bring glory to his name.
Yes.
That's my prayer for you and for me too. It's a daily journey. And also for your friend, the one that you're thinking of right now. Maybe it's a spouse or a child. Saying, God, I want them to know that good news too. Mm-hmm. Let's pray we can share it boldly. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much. In the midst of all of the false teaching swirling around us, that we have heard the simple gospel message of a God who loves us, sent his son to save us, wants us to be with him forever, to see his glory, to know the joy and peace that is only found in him. God, may we accept that and walk in that new life every day. And may we also be able to share that good news, just mm-hmm. like Paul did with those around him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Life-changing journey. Take what you've learned. Go out. Make a difference to the lives of those around you.